Joining us now, the most recent winner on the web.com tour, Martin Trainer. Welcome to the Golf Shop.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man. Hey, you've got to feel pretty good for a guy who came into 2018 with no real status. How has that come together? I mean, you're the first two-time winner on the season. How do you go from a guy who didn't have status to a guy who now is heading off to the, you know, to the big time?
Yeah, you know, it's a kind of interesting story. My plan this year was to play on the Latin American Tour, which is a tour actually below the web.com tour. So I didn't even have status on the tour at all. And I went down to Mexico. I had played this tournament before. I managed to qualify in a 3-for-1 playoff for the last spot down there and got into the tournament and ended up winning it, which got me status for the rest of the year. Pretty exciting.
I mean, that's unbelievable. I mean, you come out and you've won this one event, and did it buoy your confidence to have that event behind you and to have the status? I mean, what did it mean to get that first one behind you?
I mean, it was huge, because up until that point, the idea of me doing well at a web.com or, you know, that caliber of an event was all theory. I mean, it was this thing that I had to sort of like have faith in the idea that I was capable of winning that kind of a golf tournament, because I'd played well in the past, but never on a tour of that level. And so just to go in there and to win it, you know, basically after qualifying was, I mean, that was huge for my confidence, of course. And then obviously it put me in a great position for the rest of the year and got me status for the year. So it was really a huge day for my career.
Yeah, and you knew that a win would get you your tour card, but you also knew that hanging around and getting points and getting to the web.com championship was another way to get there. Did you, you know, when you came into this event last week, did you at the Dr. Pepper, was this a course you felt really comfortable with? Was it a course you were familiar with? I mean, how did you go out and go 25 under in a professional golf tournament?
To be honest, I don't know. I didn't think that this course really suited my game that well. But, you know, I'd played there in the past. I'd played there the year before. And I just, when I got there, I realized the rough was down. And so I changed my strategy a little bit. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to blast driver full send all day and try to make as many birdies as possible. And it ended up being the right strategy because, you know, as the scores indicated, everyone was making a ton of birdies, and it was a total birdie fest. You had to go as low as you possibly could.
So, all right, so wait a second. So you're a guy who, after winning that first event and getting status for the year, I mean, I don't mean to pick at a bad scab here or anything, but yeah. You know, you missed 8 cuts in an 11 start span. I mean,
I didn't even play well until Utah, which was a couple weeks before this past tournament that I won. So I really went for about 3 months. As I mentioned a little earlier, you know, it was sort of a confidence boost to be able to compete at that level and win that tournament. But then I was right back down to doubting myself because I went on a 3-month stretch of just missing almost every cut. When I did make the cut, I finished near the bottom of the pack. So it really wasn't a good, series of 3 months for me. But then to come back out and actually play well again, you know, now I really believe that I belong out there.
Well, we're talking to Martin Trainer, the most recent winner on the web.com tour. Went 2500 to win the Price Cutter Charity Championship presented by Dr. Pepper down there at Highland Springs Country Club. And I'm curious, during that tough time, that stretch, you know, we have a lot of web.com players on, and it just sometimes it just seems like it's a grind. And there's nobody out there really, you know, writing you huge checks to pay for your travel and for your lodging and all that kind of stuff. When you go through a stretch like you did, and you said it took a lot of faith, what about on the golf side of things? When you're struggling to and missing 8 out of 11 cuts and not having a top 50, what are you working on when you get to the course?
I mean, you're working on everything, hoping that something sticks. You know, you go through this period where you're kind of lost and you're trying everything you can. You know, a lot of it, I mean, a lot of people, I think, they assume that, hey, you know, when you get to a super high level, you've got a coach, and the coach instructs you on what you're doing, and if you're not doing it, then he tells you what to do, and then you fix it. But it's really not that easy. I mean, sometimes the fixes are much more vague and much more complex than you can ever imagine. And so you have to go through a period of trial and error. And so I was you know, I was searching for my game, I was searching for my swing, and I was working hard, but, you know, it just wasn't paying off. And then finally, you know, I found a little something that works for the last month or so, and that's led to some good play.
Well, and it led to, you know, you're standing on the par 5 18th hole Sunday. You need a birdie to win outright. Again, we're talking about a score of 25 under. But anyway, so you hit a 2-iron. Some guys don't even carry a 2-iron anymore, from 240 yards. Tell me about that hole, that shot, and what you were facing, and did you know at the time, are you a leaderboard watcher? Did you know you needed to have a birdie to win outright?
Yeah, I actually did. What I did was I sent my caddy, who was actually my host family for the week. He was literally my host for the week. I was staying at his house. So he was caddying for me. I said, hey, Jack, run down the fairway and go see if the guy birdied on the leaderboard. Because I didn't have a good view of the leaderboard. It was behind the grandstand on the 18th hole. So I sent him down there, and I kind of gave him these instructions with these signals. I was like, all right, do the baseball, you know, safe, crossing your arms, indicating that the player is safe. Do that signal if he made par, and then I can lay up. But if he makes birdie, then do kind of a wave, a one-armed wave over your head. So I sent him down there. He gave me the wave, and I knew I had to go for it, you know, with a 2-iron from 240. And interestingly, it was actually it was the same shot that I had the first three rounds. And so the first two rounds, I ended up putting in the water. This is an island green on a par 5, the 18th hole. And the third round, I managed to get it over. And now, of course, it was the fourth round, and I had to get it over onto the green from the exact same spot that I had only gone 1 out of 3 for the last three rounds. And those were the stakes for the entire tournament, and I managed to pull it off. Probably the best shot of my career.
Well, but again, you said you came into the whole tournament thinking, okay, I'm swinging free. I'm going for everything I have, and you stayed true to that. But honestly, I mean, I know you trusted this guy to cook your food and stuff during the week as your host family. But how did you trust him to remember the signals? Did he write it down?
I had to trust him in that way. Hey, you know what? He was a military guy, so I knew I could trust him.
He was good with signals.
Yeah, exactly. He was great with signals. He was in the Air Force. He probably signaled some bombers to leave the tarmac at some point. So I knew I could trust him with that.
All right. So having him tell you to hit it 240 on a hole that you'd missed twice, and then have a nice two putt for the win, you felt pretty good about that, I guess.
Oh yeah. I mean, it was just such a thrill, and I was the most nervous I've ever been. Obviously hitting the 2-iron, and then even on the green. I mean, I was only 40 feet away, which isn't, you know, it's not a super easy two putt for birdie per se, but I mean, it was very stressful, and I actually thought I left the first one short, and I was internally in my head just yelling at it to go, and ended up a couple feet short, and I made it for the win.
Yeah, and you know, the money's great and all that, but you knew by winning this tournament, you were insured as a two-time winner, and where you are third on the money list, that you were going to get your PGA Tour card, right?
Yeah, absolutely, and really, that's what you're playing for on this tour, because you know the money is great, as you said, but you're really trying to make it to the tour and trying to make the big bucks. So, you know, you understand the stakes. Everyone out there knows what the stakes are. And I knew that with a win, I would secure, you know, my PGA Tour card, and that's what happened.
All right, so when you knew you had the card and you're really a lifetime dream has come true, who'd you call?
I called my buddy, Matt, caddies for me, and then
you
I
fired him
parents.
And keeping the military guy, right?
Him.
Yep, yeah,
yep.
Fire him. Yep,
keeping my host. Yep, keeping the guy who's first time ever caddying in a professional tournament. He's one for one, so I think he should go in the caddy hall.
But Matt clearly wasn't working out for you.
Matt, you know, Matt, sorry, Matt. I called him to fire him, actually, is what happened, and then I called my parents. And, you know, called somebody. And my phone is still blowing up, by the way. I can't even keep up. By the way, people at home, never win a tournament because, you know, you'll have, like, at least 50 unknown numbers text you, congratulations, bud. My friends, you did great.
Yeah.
So never win a tournament.
And you don't even have them in your contacts, so it's just a number, right?
Oh, it's just a random number.
Yeah, well, I remember who, I think it was.
And they never, by the way, why do these people not identify themselves? I mean, they just send a text, and they don't even say who it is. They're like, hey, great playing, you know, and this is another move they do. They send you, the leaderboard. They send you the leaderboard, and then they go, hey, great job. Yeah, I know the leaderboard. I was on it all day. I played in the tournament.
I have a picture of myself standing in front of it that you didn't take because you weren't here and you're not in my contacts, so I don't even know who you are.
Right, exactly. And they still, and by the way, my move is just to go, okay, thank you so much. Like, you know, I just give them a nice answer because, you know, whatever, I'm just trying to be nice. And they still, I mean, we can go through like a whole, at a certain point it becomes a game. Like, how many texts will it take for them to identify themselves? And you know what the answer is every single time? Infinite. They never identify themselves.
Well, let me clear something up for you. The text you're going to receive from me in a few minutes will be very, very clear because I will be asking you for a loan. My daughter's tuition is due. And you've just come into a giant cardboard check, and you're the only person I know who has it. So you will get a text from me asking for a loan.
Excellent.
Fair
as
enough.
As long as your name's on it, then the loan is approved.
I've got a chance. Well, okay, so what does this mean for you going forward, the rest of the season? I mean, you've achieved your goal, but obviously you want to get out there and capitalize on this momentum. So tell me how the rest of the season will play out for you when you really don't have to continue playing or participate in the championship.
Right, you know, at this point, you know, there's still a small incentive to try to get to the number one spot because that gives you full status rather than sort of a
conditional,
on a list conditional, exactly. So there is that incentive. But, you know, honestly, I'm in a good position as is. I'm just going to go out there and play the best I can. And to be honest, at this point, I'm sort of playing the long game. I'm not going to be grinding like I was the last couple months where I was really practicing, you know, really hard and practicing before and after the rounds and not taking days off, that kind of thing. Now I'm really going to take it easy. I'm going to, you know, relax a little bit and take Monday, Tuesdays off and that kind of thing to really pace myself.
It sounds like a much better life. Well, Martin, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on the win. We're going to be looking forward to seeing great things from you on the PGA Tour. And one little piece of advice from other guys we've talked to, make it to that second year on the tour. That's the big one. You've got a chance then to see courses a second time. But thank you again for joining us.
Thank you so much.